Wake up call, 1300 WTLS, 106.5 FM. We continue, and I know we've talked some about this book, Above Ground by John Nelson, The Gene Jelks Journey Out of the Woods Back into the Kingdom of God. But we haven't talked with Gene himself, and it's good to have you on this morning. Gene, appreciate you being with us.
Thank you for having me. All praises go to God.
Well,
how are you this morning?
Oh, we're doing well, Gene. Appreciate you coming on. I noticed the 404 number. You're now in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Tell us what you're doing these days, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, your life prior to this coming up and, you know, the time at Alabama. But what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm a Christian speaker now, and I have an outreach, Above Ground. Actually, it's called Above Ground Outreach. It's a outreach that touches poverty kids, poor kids, all kind of kids of different color. What the outreach is a Christian youth football camp I do every year throughout the Southeast now, and for different cities, partner with the housing authority or partner with a city to do their community. And it's just been a great journey, and I thank God for the opportunity.
Let me ask you how you and John got connected. I know John from way back, and he had told me some years ago that you two had talked and were looking at doing this book. How did you meet John Nelson?
Well, it was kind of funny. I was walking one day, and I ran across Gil Tyree after 19 years. And Gil wanted to do an interview, but God interceded, and it never happened. And so I said, well, you know, I'm going to write a tell-all book one day, Gil. And he said, well, Gene, I have the right guy for you. And we met in Atlanta at the Perimeter Mall. And this guy named Big Phil, he was on Gil Tyree's team. And he was a TV producer. And actually, I fired the guy first. He misquoted one of my something doing my sophomore year, and I just said, "Wait, you sound like Bill Curry, guy," and I fired the guy. It's a funny story how it all came back together.
Well,
I laughed at that one.
Well, you know, it's a tell-all book. You tell about your childhood. You tell about sexual abuse, having to deal with that coming up, and then the story of going to Alabama and Bill Curry and all of that. So, I mean, you had to feel comfortable with John, obviously, to come with all of this information and just give your full story. I mean, how difficult is that to come out with everything?
It was painful. It was a secret that I had kept from my parents as a little boy. You know, the guy that molested me, he scared me when I was about 5 years old, and so I was afraid to tell anybody. And, you know, once God started dealing with me on my anger and bitterness with Bill Curry, you know, I just felt like that it was time for me to clear the air and to free myself and, you know, forgive myself and don't beat myself up. And it was very traumatizing, actually. And I cried during the interview, so it was very painful.
And as you put this together, you talk about coming up and playing in Gadsden and being really, you know, you were a superstar player as a youngster, and then you had some hurdles to get over there because it was one of these things like you earn it as you get older. You were good enough to play at a very young age at the high school level, and you were ready to quit and actually pretty much had done that and then had to work your way back into the good graces with a high school team. Talk about that time.
Well, during that time, I mean, you're at a point where, you know, God had gave me this gift. Growing up in the neighborhood, I was always four grades ahead of everybody, even the bigger guys. And, you know, the bottom line is here, the point of contact is that I discovered that I had a gift in sports. And, you know, what really happened when I got to middle high school, I still was improving my skills, and I was still actually ahead of four grades. And I told the junior high coach that, look, there's no guy out here on the field your seniors or whatever. I can beat them out if you give me an opportunity. So he said I had to wait my turn, and sort of like Michael Jordan's story, you know. And so I told him, you know, I quit. And then I said I made a mistake, and so I went back, and he ran my butt off. He ran my tail off, and then they gave me an opportunity, and it just took off from there. They were blown away, all the coaches. Coaches were trying to recruit me, actually, in high school to come play for their schools. And, you know, my parents wouldn't allow that to happen. But, yeah, it was a gift from God, and you know, he gets all the glory. But that right there was really one thing that really stuck out with me, that I discovered at a young age that I was ahead of all the guys, and I could play on a high school level in a lower grade. And so, and to me, it was like supernatural, you know, from God, to be ahead of guys like four grades ahead of me.
Gene, this is Gary, and I know that you were part of a state championship team, and you had some other guys on that high school team that were highly recruited. Tell us a little bit about what it was like with you and Larry Rose and some of those other guys to have all these college coaches, you know, coming around to practices and games and all that kind of circus of recruiting that y'all went through.
Well, you know, we were 5A, and you know, we were fortunate to have guys like Freddie Wagan, who played at Auburn, who was a speedster, actually ran like a 4.240, including myself. Larry Rose was like, 6'5", 280 pounds, and could run like a tight end. I mean, we just had Andre Haley, who now is a linebacker coach for, I believe, Texas, or line coach. He was at LSU. And there's Mo Andy Watts, our quarterback. You name it. I mean, we had Richard Dobbs, who played at North Alabama, Walter Smith, offensive guard. And we were loaded. I mean, offense, defense, special teams that year with the head coach, Buster Groves, who's a legend now. Actually, Coach Groves is the only coach. He graduated from Auburn and played there. He's the only coach in the state that went that a perfect 15-0 record, my understanding, and made history. So we were fortunate and blessed that year. Our junior year, fortunately, we came up short 13-1, but Freddie and Andre Haley, those guys, they graduated, and we really still had an experienced team there with Larry Rose and myself and Andy Watts and a few more guys. And what we did, we just said, hey, you know, we got to redeem ourselves. You know, we lost some great players and went on to the next level. But we got to stick together, and this should be our year. And it was. We went 15-0, and we were the team that I remember, Gordondale, in Birmingham. I mean, you had helicopters flying, I remember, and all the media was there. The game was on the line, and we finally beat them, I think, maybe 20 seconds left. It was 4th-and-7, and I told the guys, I can't get it. I cannot get it, and they just told me, look, you read our block, and you can get it, Jelks. And we beat Gardendale, and I remember them saying that 13 tried and 13 died. And so we went on to a perfect record. And I just give all the offensive linemen, the defense. It was a defensive battle. I think Willie Wyatt was on that team who played with me in Alabama, and he was every bit of an All-American.
Wow, unbelievable run in high school. And then the recruitment to go to Alabama, and Ray Perkins was there, obviously, at the time. Talk about that. And I know Auburn was coming hard at you, and Bo Jackson, I think, was pretty much in the mix there, that you could tell about those stories, too.
Well, yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I wore 34 in high school, and, you know, I was highly recruited, thank God, by every school in the country. And I chose to go to Alabama. I narrowed him down to stay in my state. You know, the Iron Bowl is something that you watch and you dream of playing in. And I got the opportunity. I narrowed it down, I believe, from LSU, Clemson, a few other schools that ran the same offense that we ran was the I formation that fit what I, you know, my skills and the formations that I was used to running. And make a long story short here, Bo Jackson, he actually wore 34, and he was at Auburn, and Coach Dye recruited me, and, of course, Coach Ray Perkins. And Coach Perkins told us that he was going to recruit Bobby Humphrey, and he was going to set up Murray Hill. We were the three top athletes in the state at that time. I was number one. Bobby Humphrey was number two, and Murray Hill was number three. And we all three ended up committing to sign with Alabama. So I had to compete against all these excellent, like, top athletes in the world at that time in the country in high school. And I think it's now it's ESPN 100. I'm not sure. Yep. It was Dixie Dozen back then, I believe. I'm kind of old now. But, you know, it was hilarious how Coach Dye recruited me. you know, he didn't promise me anything but a fair opportunity, and I had to wait behind Bo, and I told him, no, I'm going to start as a freshman out of high school. And, you know, that is hard to do in the SEC.
No doubt.
And so...
And it's a funny story, that Gene, because, you know, that's kind of what Bo Jackson says is why he went to Auburn, because he was told he would have to wait his turn at Alabama.
Absolutely. That's what he told me on my recruiting trip down there. And at that time, he stuttered, and I really didn't understand what he was saying. But thank God, you know, money can fix a lot of things. and he told me that, you know, I wouldn't play until the next year. And I said, no, Bo. I said, matter of fact, you got my number. And I'm going to Alabama. If they have communication and education, what I'm looking for versus Auburn. It came down to really a factor of Bo having 34 and I wore it in high school, and it was my lucky number. And so I told him, no, thank you. I told Coach Dye I wasn't interested. And so I ended up playing against him in the Iron Bowl, if you recall.
Of course.
And so I even outrushed him. I'm the only player, thank God, I give God the glory. I'm the only player that ever outrushed Bo Jackson in the world. And so it really worked out for me. They had communications, education. They were like third rank in communications in the nation. And so it all worked out.
Did you go through the communications college? Is that where your degree, where you were going as far as at Alabama? Were you in communications?
Yes.
Okay, because I went through communications at Alabama. I just wanted to it's interesting. You know, it's funny, though, you mentioned the number 34. And you didn't end up with 34, but there's an interesting story why you ended up with number 22. Tell about that.
Well, it's funny. My understanding, you know, I told Coach, I said, well, you know, Tony Nathan wore that number, Johnny Musso, all these legendary players in Alabama wore these numbers, and you know, I really want to fit those shoes, and so I don't know if it was retired. Don't quote me, but it was not in circulation after Johnny Musso, who was a great Italian stallion. And you know, that for me, that was a challenge. And it's kind of funny. The true story about it is, Coach Brian, old equipment manager, Mr. Meadows, bless his heart, may he rest in peace. Now, he was a mean old grumpy dude like the bear, and so Coach Perkins. I said, since I can't have 34, Ricky Thomas had that number. I said, here we go again. I said, Coach, I'll take 22 if you have it. And he didn't say a word. Coach Perkins never looked at me. And then the day that we came, the freshmen were supposed to report to Tuscaloosa in T-Town. This guy said, hey, rookie, get over here. And I was shaking literally in my pants. And walked up to the cage, and this guy, he threw the jersey, and it hit the floor because I was shaking. And I picked it up, and it was 22, Johnny Musso and Tony Nathan, them number. And I said, okay, what have I got myself into now?
Pretty big shoes to fill, yeah.
Yes. And so, actually, a true story, many people don't know out there that we were loaded that year. Coach Perkins loaded up, you know, after that losing season, and made Coach Bryant rest in peace. He appointed him to take over and build the university back where it needs to be. And so I was competing against, I believe, my understanding, I talked to Bobby a couple of weeks ago, and Bobby said we had about 18 running backs competing that year, our freshman year. And for some reason, if you recall, go back, I worked my tail off and competing with Bobby and Murray Hill and some of the other guys that were already there, some of Coach Bryant running backs were getting ready to graduate. And I ended up starting over all those guys my freshman year against Georgia between the hedges in 1985. And so, once again, you know, I just give God the glory for my talent.
And the 85 game is the game you were just a freshman. And we're talking about the 85 Auburn game where you had that breakout game. Talk about that and the way that the game finished. We all know the big finish. What is that like to play in a game like that and be a star and see your team win?
Well, you know, that's a kid's dream, you know, to play on the big stage. And, you know, only 1% get an opportunity to do that. So, you know, I feel like it was a privilege. I knew that it was a huge game in the country. I believe in 1948 where they stopped and they immersed, and then they started playing back, and I think Alabama beat them 55-0, my understanding. And for me, it was very exciting, and I was happy because I went from thousands in the stands to hundreds of thousands. I mean, to literally almost 100,000, 75,000 to 80,000 people cheering Roll Tide and War Eagle. Man, that stadium was loud, and I never played in a capacity stadium like that in my life. And so I was blown away and with the opportunity to have to play for one of the most elite schools in the country, Alabama, and to wear the jersey and to have an opportunity to be their starting running back. So it was, for me back then, it was an exciting time, I would say.
All right, let's fast forward to Bill Curry. He comes in, and he tells you he wants to move you to another position, play defense. Tell about that time and how, and obviously, that had to turn your world upside down.
It did. It devastated me. You know, the Bama Nation and the country needs to know that Bill Curry forced me. He didn't ask me. He forced me. He lied to me and told me we didn't have any defensive backs, and they were going to move me to defensive back. And I told him, Coach, that's not my problem. You should look at the stats. Leading rusher my freshman year, I beat out of 18 guys, stayed pretty healthy. My sophomore year, led the team in rushing again. The coaches and the AP polls and all these people were in talks of me running for the Heisman. And I got angry. And my anger got the best of me. I was frustrated. The what I had envisioned to me was no longer in existence to have an opportunity to be Alabama's first Heisman Trophy winner. And you know, it really was painful, and emotionally it scarred me. You know, even though I did go over on defense and, you know, playing in the SEC, and I never backpedaled or played the position in my life, it was hard making the transition and to compete with guys like Wendell Davis, who I had to face, Tim Brown at Notre Dame. And but I end up with 5 interceptions. I believe, I don't know how many tackles I knocked down. I was second or third behind Derek Thomas at that time, and we had John Maynham, who went on to play for the Chicago Bears, and on Lee Osmond, and it was a difficult transition. I think Deion Sanders is about one or two of the others that has made the transition to playing both offense and defense, and so at that level, you really have to be a gifted athlete, and I just thank God for the ability, and you know, also I ran punts back, and I led the nation my junior year, and also kickoff return. So that was all God, you know, the ability to do those, that type on that level with guys running 4.6s and 4.3s and 300 pounds, 200 pounds. Man, that's just unheard of. And it really, I was frustrated the whole year, and then I end up getting the, if you recall, look it up, I end up getting the defensive back of the year out of the South, and you know, I was shocked to even get the award, you know, because you got guys has already practiced those positions and crafted all their life, all the way from peewee up to high school, and I ended up beating out all those seniors that year for the defensive back of the year and led the nation in punt return. So I told Coach I had to touch the ball if I was going to move over there or I was going to transfer, you know, one or the other. And so really what happened is that I didn't – the controversial thing with Alabama, I had been gone from the university for 3 years. I did go to NFL, did go to CFL for a little while, and, you know, NFL is not for long anyway. So, you know, it stirred up a nest, and, you know, the Bama Nation – they turned their backs on me. I had death threats, my family. And to this day, the book reveals that, you know, after 20 years, really what happened. And so I said some things at that time that I'm not proud of, but that's what happened.
We're talking with Gene Jelks, and we would recommend you to get the book, Above Ground, Gene Jelks' Journey Out of the Woods Back into the Kingdom of God. It's available on Amazon, and also they have a Kindle app that you can Kindle purchase that you can get as well. The time when you were going through a tough time, and the opportunity came to kind of, I guess, get even here, as you say, you regret what you did and making claims that, you know, you were paid, I guess, as a player. Talk about that period and why you went that way.
Well, for me, you know, we all have a dark side, you know, that it's good and evil. And, you know, I was approached. I was still angry from not having an opportunity to be pushed in the NFL in my right position. You know, I was pushed in the NFL out of position with the Denver Broncos and was drafted in the first round in the CFL as a defensive back. And I was still angry and frustrated. I saw an opportunity to get even with Bill Curry, not the University of Alabama. I was never mad at the university. All they did was gave me an opportunity to further my football skills and have an opportunity to go to the next level in the NFL, which I did. Thank God for that. And my anger got the best of me, and it was toward Bill Curry, not the university. And, you know, unfortunately, we did go on probation, and that's something that I'm not proud of. But, you know, we all make mistakes, and, you know, God forgives us. And I had to forgive myself first, and I had to forgive Bill Curry so that I could be free and give my gifts back to God so that he could bless him, and I can be a blessing to kids now in ministry.
Tell us a little bit about you talk about having to forgive Coach Curry, and just tell us a little about how that process went and about you going to see him and over in Atlanta, how that all came about.
Well, Walter Lewis called me, one of Alabama quarterbacks, and I mean, we had a disagreement for about 1 hour on the phone, and he finally convinced me to go see Bill Curry. He said, "Gene, you're bitter. You're still bitter, and you're still angry at Bill Curry. We understand what you went through. We know that it was a wrong move. How could he do that? But it happened." And so I said, "Okay, Walter, just so you would stop calling me, I will go see him." And that's how it came about. And it was the best decision I ever made because, you know, a lot of times unforgiveness is withholding blessings, and it's your inner physical is deteriorating and it causes other sicknesses in your body. And so I just actually a walk in, you know, he went to Georgia State and built that facility, that program over there. And I knew the area downtown Atlanta. And so I took a chance. I walked over to their strength room and the strength coach said he was over in another place. And so I walked over there. And I didn't see him. Actually, there was somebody at the front door, and they probably thought I was trying to rob the place. And they was kind of hesitant to come to the door, and I said, "Open the door." And he finally peeped his head out, and I said, "Can I see Bill Curry?" And he said, "Who are you?" And I said, I'm one of his former players. And he said, "Well, he's in a football meeting with his staff." And I said, "Can I leave a note?" And he said, "Yes." So he gave me the note, and as I walked out, 5 minutes later, Bill Curry calls me and canceled his staff meeting. And we sat down, and he let me talk. And he gave me a hug. I gave him a hug. You know, that's what Christ does. You know, I'm a Christian now, and I come from a Christian family, but I left that. And a lot of things that happened in my life is because I left Christ, and the evenness of the world created some scenarios that I found myself in at that time. And so we sat down for about 45 minutes, and he said, you know, I am due to listen to you. And so I just poured it all out, and I started crying. And I remember him stating on the record, he said, Gene Jelks, I am so sorry. I didn't know you were as sensitive as you were. I had two great running backs in the country, and I'm sorry, and I made a mistake. And that's all he said. So there you go. He admitted it, and that's when I got closure. And so I just proceeded to move forward in my life, and the best decision I ever made. And so I'm grateful to Walter Lewis and House Johnson to this day.
Well, you're doing great things now. There's so much more to the story. That's why you need to read the book. We do recommend it. I do recommend it highly. I read it in one day, Gene. I got it in the afternoon at the post office, and I couldn't put it down. Seriously, it's very interesting, and I'm sure Alabama fans would certainly like to read it.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, please go out there, guys, and get the book. I'm back home doing what God want me to do. As he said, I recommend the book. I mean, it's about rebirth. It's about renewal. I mean, there are players in there. I didn't want it to all be about me. I wanted the other people's opinion. Coach Perkins in the book. One of Coach Bryant, Dr. Gary White. This book has something in there for women. It's an amazing book. I can't tell you all of it, but I recommend it. Go to Amazon.com, or you can go to GeneJokes.com and check out my website. Please go out and support the book, Alabama Nation.
And some of your favorite scriptures in the book, too, in the end, I think is worth looking at for people, too. Hey, Gene, we surely appreciate you coming on. I hope we can talk soon maybe about some football next time. How about that?
Hey, that sounds great. Thank you for having me on the show. And, guys, listen to this station. This is a great station, and I'll be tuned in. And I humbly thank God for all the blessings that are flowing in my life, that I can be a blessing to kids throughout the Southeast. And anything that I can do, a speaker, or, you know, give me a call and I'll see what I can do for you guys.
Sounds great. Gene, thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, and God bless you too. Roll Tide. All right. Thank you, Gene. Gene Jelks. How about that? Very interesting interview there. Definitely some interesting comments made by him. And again, I say a book that I highly recommend you read, Above Ground, written by John Nelson. It is the Gene Jelks Journey Out of the Woods Back into the Kingdom of God, available on Amazon.com.